About love, money, career, and spiritual protection. Using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a few moments. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ollie. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. Boy, we cut it close this time. We were driving 90 miles an hour to get back to get on the show after having been at my grandson Sam's 6th birthday party.
All right.
Yeah.
Did y'all have a great time?
We scared the pants off of Ali by calling him up and going, "Conjure Man Ollie, we're stuck in traffic. We'll never make it."
I took it in stride.
Yeah, got his adrenaline going at least. But the traffic cleared out. It was just a little fender bender accident. And, of course, everybody in Marin County wanted to be in on the action, you know. So that's pretty much brought the freeway to a stop while they all looked at that fender bender. Aren't humans fun?
Indeed.
So, indeed they are. Well, I have a big announcement, and those of you who listen to the Now You Know show know that our new high-fidelity transmission has begun. And you all tell me in the chat room, is it more high-fidelity than you thought it was? It sounded better to me when I was listening to his show, and the music sounded better to me today. I think it sounds really good. Papa Newt in the chat room says, sounds great. And before we go on, I just want to thank all the people in the chat room, including Candelo Kimbisa, who just happened to drop in on us. Nice of him. And Professor Porterfield, there he is. Professor Porterfield, he says, sound is much sharper. Yeah, your show was too, Professor Porterfield. So the new hi-fi transmitter is working. We're very, very
excited. Yay, very exciting.
However, our chief engineer, Troll Lucky Mojo Curio Company Towelhead, says, I can tell you the music was impossible to moderate.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
There was only one notch above where it was that it would go off before it would. You could hear Tammy Lee. So it was a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, that's a challenge. Well, a little bit of feedback to Blog Talk Radio, and maybe this will work out. So, hello to everybody in chat. Spend a moment. Go to Facebook if you have a Facebook account. Tell people you're listening to the show. Tell them they can come in on the chat with us. It's always fun. All right. Well, how are things down in sunny, and I mean sunny, Southern California, Conjure Man Ollie?
Things are great, thank you. The weather has turned into thunderstorm weather. So it's muggy outside, and we have random occasional rain and lightning and thunder, which is fantastic. I'm fond of lightning and thunder and very fond of rain, but not fond of the mugginess. Other than that, besides my usual weather update, it's been fantastic. Been quite busy, keeping myself busy. This is turning out to be probably the most productive summer in a while, and which is saying something, because I don't, you know, take it easy during summers in any way, shape, or form. But it's even more productive than my usual amount. At least it is up until today. Maybe I'll relax in August or something. So it's been fantastic. I'm enjoying that quite a bit. And I do want to send out just a quick moment, a reminder for everyone to light a candle, say a prayer for the shootings that have happened in Chattanooga, and you know, reminding this nation to remain, you know, at peace and heal and be one and united. So thoughts and prayers out to the people who've lost and who continue to suffer.
Yeah, good advice for all of us, and something that many people in our community are working on, justice.
Yes.
Work for all. And I think that's a
yeah.
really good thing, and particularly justice work for African Americans who seem to be bearing the brunt of the violence that's out there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
also for any people of color, generally, trans people. There's a lot of hate right going around. We're in a little bad emotional weather in the United States.
Yeah, very
comes
much so.
And goes, but right now we're having bad emotional weather. People are not pulling together the way they should, the way they have done sometimes, and the way I'm sure they will do again. But we need to do some heavy praying for help for those who need it.
That's
good
so
advice.
True. I think that was a good way of explaining it too, bad emotional weather, because that really encapsulates kind of what's going on. It's not just an isolated incident, it's multiple incidents, and then it's the emotions that arise around it. So I think you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, there's just something going in the air right now. But this too shall pass, we hope. We'll have a time people will look back and say, oh, how terrible that was, and they'll have moved on. Of course, it'll come back again. We just keep on hoping that we're on an ever-increasing upward-bound spiral instead of just going through this roller coaster that just, you know, dumps us into the mud pits regularly. But we don't know, you know. I was reading an archaeology magazine about a very nice Minoan civilization of 4,000 years ago. It sounded like a comfortable place to live, of course, until the Greeks moved in, and then it was destroyed. And, of course, Greek civilization was a nice place to live, I mean, you know, until they imploded and were destroyed. I mean, you know, it's all, you know, this has been going on for thousands of years. And, well, right now we're in crazy time. That's it.
Yes, we are.
We're in crazy time. But let's, you know, so the best you can do is to say some prayers, light some candles, do some work, and help somebody. Just help another human, help anyone along the way that needs it. Well, I know Miss Saida is sitting here waiting in the wings, and one of our more helpful people. Now, I tell you, there's a lady who knows her stuff. So for those of you who are new to this show or listening in the archives and have never heard an episode with Miss Saida, let me just give her a quick introduction. Miss Saida is a wonderful root worker, comes out of a mingled, eclectic background is the best I can say it. I'm going to let her describe that herself, but has done a lot of different kinds of work. And she brings back to us today the second part of a two-part series on working with the skull candle and skulls in general. Miss Saida has made a study of this, and no one who heard the first one will forget her talking about her power drill. So, you know, cursing with skull candles with Miss Saida, it's going to be a trip. So, Miss Saida, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I've got something better for you this time, rather than the power drill. I stumbled onto something, and it works beautifully.
All right. Well, we'll get
We're going to the buzzsaw this time.
Right, the buzzsaw. Right. Well, and Miss Saida, for those of you also who have special interests, and some of us do, Miss Saida is a dog trainer, and you see pictures of her on Facebook with her very beautiful German Shepherd dogs, and if you have need of a person who is a root worker who specializes in animal communication and working with animals, Miss Saida is a good one. So that's just maybe do a show on that some other time. All right.
I'd love to.
All right. So let's get to the topic. The topic is cursing with skull candles. So first of all, as I always do, let me give it just a little bit of an intro here. Skull candles are candles in the shape of a human skull. And there are very many different molds, different colors. You can buy molds and make your own. You can buy them commercially made. Sometimes they're a skull and crossbones. Sometimes they're just a skull. And you can buy them at Halloween. Often at Halloween shops, they'll have them marked down as Halloween comes to a close. But you can't get them in every color. So there is no one special skull candle we're talking about. We're just talking about a candle in the form of a skull. Now, that's going to take us back one step before we go forward. We're going to take one more step back. Why would we want candles in the form of something? So this comes under the heading of figural candles. And figural candles are those that are not just a dip or a taper or a cast, a cylindrical shape, or poured into a glass cylinder or metal or whatever they're going to be poured into. Figural candles go back in hoodoo a long way. Pretty much around 1900, they began making candles, molded candles. And if you have the Master Book of Candle Burning by Henri Gamache, you might see a few molded candles in there. But if you have a first edition or second or third edition of that book, you will find many more. They've eliminated many of the pictures when they reprinted the book because the molds for those figural candles were no longer available. And the publisher said, I'm tired of people asking me, where can I get the High Priest of Judea candle? And there really was one. And in fact, it's shown in that book. So there are figural candles come and go. There are fads for them. You can substitute one for another if you have to. Mm-hmm. And there are many forms of devil candle. There are many forms of human being candle, naked, clothed. Figural candles are a bit like art, and you won't find everyone using the same picture to hang on their living room wall. So having said that, the skull represents the human mind. And so what we do when we're working with a skull candle is we're working with someone's mind. All right. Now, having set the scene, let me take it away to Miss Aida. Go ahead.
Okay. The reason that I love to work with skull candles, as you know from the first show, is I like screwing around with the brain. And, you know, it's also nice because you're picturing a human being. Right? So it gives the spellcaster more authority because they actually have that skull there that they can feel, that they can manipulate, that they can do things to the brain. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's my favorite figural candle to work with. And if you look at charts of the brain, as we had discussed previously, I give you a good idea of what areas to work with and work on, where you can, if you're doing cursing, which is a theme of this show, you know, it gives you an idea of where you can stick needles and pins and talk to it and hurt it or mm-hmm. love it, whatever you're doing. But in my case, it would be cursing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but I like the feel.
A good skull candle has a lot of information about the target. A skull is usually represented just as bone. It's hollow. We all know what a skull looks like pretty much. But the skull candle also has eyes, and it has a place mm-hmm. where ears would be. Mm-hmm. It has teeth or a mouth. It has nostrils. And, of course, as Aida just said, it has portions of the brain that literally govern different forms of thought, the language area, the cognitive visual area, and so forth. These are different areas of the brain. I'm not talking about phrenology. I'm talking about physiology. But you could also apply phrenology to mm-hmm. a skull candle in which the head is oriented divided and oriented into little sectors that supposedly rule different emotions. And you could combine those ideas, modern medical knowledge and phrenology. But when you work with a skull candle, you first start by naming it for somebody. Mm-hmm. And you first start with baptizing it or in some way christening it, whatever you're going to call it. I mean, different people have different names for it. Linking it is a more generic and non-religious term to use. Linking it to your target. So, Miss Aida, let's start with how do you link or consecrate, baptize, bless, curse, whatever, the skull to be of the target? You load the candle. What do you do?
What I do, it depends. If I'm using a white skull candle or red or anything other than a black, I kind of do things backwards. So if I'm doing a nice spell for somebody, then, I would do all my stuffings and everything beforehand, and all my drillings or whatever I do, I would do it beforehand. And then what I do is I take holy water and I baptize it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I baptize you and I name you whatever this person's name is. Okay. And the petition papers are already in there. Now, if it's a black skull candle and I'm doing bad things to it, depending exactly on what I'm doing, okay? But I always name and baptize it and inscribe it before I start screwing around with it because I want people to feel the pain.
Ah, of course. How very interesting. Do you do that, Ollie? Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, I alter the way I work with skull candles depending on what I'm going to do with it. One of my favorite ways of linking a skull candle to a purse is, in addition to a baptism that I do, is I actually write their name on a sliver of licorice stick, and I load that into the candle as the spine, so to speak, or the spinal cord that's connecting the skull. And I use this licorice sliver also as a means of controlling that person. Licorice has a very powerful, commanding, and controlling quality to it. So that's what I do. And then the great thing that now anyone who knows the work that I do knows that I absolutely love skull candles. In fact, I taught a course on skull candles or a workshop on skull candles at the Voodoo Heritage Festival years back. And one of the things that I find so fantastic about them is that they're a combination of doll baby magic, if you will, right, that works on the laws of sympathy along with candle magic. And that's what makes them so wonderfully effective. If you can link the person to a skull candle, you work in some powerful, powerful magic. And you have to ask yourself what the purpose of that magic is. What is the purpose of that work before you go linking it? Because as Ms. Aida mentioned, if you're going to do this work for cursing, then you may want to baptize it first before you start carving out the bottom and then sticking in things like licorice root and other herbs and roots and whatnot. Because as you're carving the skull, they're going to feel that. Similarly, once you've loaded it and then you inscribe directly on the skull itself thoughts that you wanted to have or feelings that you wanted to feel, commands that you want to give it, you're quite literally engraving those commands, those words onto their spirit.
Yeah, that's making sure that you control that skull is important. I want to mention, because you said that you had taught a workshop on how to work with skull candles at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And for those who, of course, were not there, and it was a couple of years ago, your lecture notes are reprinted in full in a book called The Black Folder, which is a $12 book containing lecture notes from many, many years of workshops and festivals. And it's a valuable book to have, and that the information that you gave there is excellent. So, yeah, that's very good. Now, I have my own way of working with skulls is a little bit different. I had never thought until listening to Aida just now, it never occurred to me. I always load them first and then work on them. Always. That's just how I do it. I load them, baptize them, and then work on them. But I kind of like what she was saying about those that are for good, that she does it in opposite order from the black ones. I'd never thought of that before. It shows how we all work differently. Either way, I'm sure, would be effective. But having them feel the pain of being worked on is an interesting idea. It never occurred to me. Of course, I'm not as much of a cursor as Miss Aida, but I do a fair bit of it. I tend to like to combine skull work with doll baby type techniques of the classical Mediterranean type stabbing pins into the eyes and so forth. And I always start by, if I'm working on someone who I want to be working very privately and quietly on, I start by stabbing into the eyes. You can't see the work I'm doing.
Yes, that's a great way.
That's my first thing. And then into their mouth. You can't speak about what I'm doing to you and so forth. And I'm the hot pin gal. I'm always sticking hot pins in them. And so that's my little wrinkle on it. But so Aida, tell us some tricks. You said you got something better than the power drill. I mean, there can't be something better than the darn power drill. That was the best.
My power drill broke because, I do a lot of cursing spells. And it broke. So I went to, it was either Home Depot or Lowe's, and I get lost in these big stores. I get lost trying to get across the street. But I was completely lost, and right in front of my face was a display for soldering irons. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Less than $20. Okay? Brought it home and said, let me mess with this. It took me, I kid you not, all but 1 minute. Two minutes. Boom, boom, I had holes. Boom, boom, I had holes. Excellent tool.
Soldering irons. Okay.
That was soldering. I'm sorry, soldering iron. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, my English isn't that good. So.
Well, I know. Your English is better than most people's Cuban Greek. Or whatever it is. Yeah, what a fantastic idea, soldering iron. Well, see, that's like my hot pins taken to the nth degree, because I'm all about the hot pins. I mean, I'm telling you, you heat those things up and they just go in like butter, you know? Well, they're not butter. The skull is like butter. They go in like pins. And I love hot pins, but I had never thought of a soldering iron. So do you use the soldering iron, like, for instance, to create the hole to load the candle?
Yes.
Wow. Oh,
It's excellent. The one thing, though, I have to tell everybody is, please do this outside, because these irons emit a chemical that can be toxic. So when you're doing work with these irons, you do it outside. And have something to catch the drippings, because they just pour out. I mean, the minute you touch the candle with this iron, you've got your holes. It's that fast.
Wow. So let's talk about a setup here, because we don't want people setting the woods on fire, especially not in these dry drought times out here in California. So would you be using, as an example, cookie sheet? Would you be using a baking pan? Would you be using a cast iron Dutch oven? What exactly would you be using?
You know, you have some good ideas there. Now I feel kind of awful for saying this, but I do it on top of paper towels. I ought not, because we're killing trees, but that's what I use.
Paper towels. Okay. Oh, I'm a great one for, well, see, to me, all the wax that comes off has a purpose, too. And so I like to catch the wax and let it dry and harden and use it as well, or melt it back down in.
Right, exactly. So, especially when you're filling it, filling the candle back up.
Yeah.
But
a paper towel soaked with the wax would make a nice little lettuce bed for that skull. And when you finally, when you finally pour Florida water all over that, you've got yourself quite a little funeral pyre there.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And that will go
well,
up.
I've been doing it the hard way, because I've been melting down the 4-inch candles and filling the holes back up with those. But
Yeah. No, let me give you a tip then. I got a tip for you. Work over some form of metal that is non-absorbent, like a cookie sheet, and that wax will just harden right back up. And then you want to have a spoon that is a cast-off spoon, not grandma's heirloom with the bone handle. And but the kind of spoon you want is a stainless steel a gravy ladle, the kind that has a little spout on one side. Sometimes they have a little spout on both, you know, a little lip on both sides. And that way you heat that thing up. And you could put that on the soldering iron, actually. It would heat right up. And you have, it's
right.
like a little pouring crucible. They basically, you just pour your wax right back in again. So.
Okay, well, I cheat. I'm a nurse, and, you know, I have syringes. So I use syringes to pour back up.
Oh, my God.
I have an interesting little tip about the wax. Something that I do is for anyone that's burned skull candles, I know that there's actually quite a bit of wax left over. I don't have it very often where they burn 100% clear and clean and there's no wax left. Very rarely. Mostly there's a lot of wax left. And so what I do is I'll work a skull candle over a period of days, you know, sending my suggestions, my commands, telling the person what to do, what I want them to do, what I want them to feel, etc. And then once I've burned that candle down, I will then soften the wax up and from that form a doll baby to continue the work however long I need to do so. So it's a really great way of bringing intense heat with the skull candle and then carrying on the work with a doll baby. And I can tell you that every time I've done that, you see results fast.
Wow. Wow. That's an amazing thing, too, to melt down the remnants. See, I'm of the, you know, send it up to heaven in a pillar of fire in a column of smoke. So I'll just throw Florida water on it and let it go. And
what a beautiful way to divine, too, with those flames.
Yeah, that's true. I like flame divination. I just like flame generally. But then I use an old-fashioned cauldron. I'm not talking about a modern pagan witch's cauldron. I'm talking about a kitchen implement, a three-legged fireplace cauldron. Or a Dutch oven will work. But a Dutch oven has a problem, which is that it's flat-bottomed for use on a gas stove. And you really want something with the three legs because that keeps the heat off of your whatever it is you're working on, whether it's your concrete sidewalk or driveway or whatever. So you want to have those three little legs. It's worth it to invest in a good either three-legged camp Dutch oven or a three-legged cauldron. And it doesn't have to be real big either. You don't want one of these little 3-inch ceremonial Wiccan ones. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about eBay kitchen equipment, vintage, you know, that kind of thing. And that will work.
I have a question for both of you. It's something, you both use skull candles. Something that I've noticed with skull candles is that the two really important aspects of the work, after you've, you know, decided what your intention is, you've linked the skull candle, baptized it, named it, whatever, is repetition or constantly working it. Mm-hmm. So you have this flow because you want to plant the seeds of those thoughts in. And second is timing. I think more than any other work, timing is really important in skull candle work. You want to pick a time where the person is impressionable, or you want to pick a time that suits what you're trying to do. I find whether either they're in their deep sleep or right when they're about to fall asleep to be a really good time to work a skull candle, to really get those thoughts in there. But people can have, you can make someone think something or feel something, but that may not always manifest into action. And so you need to keep working it, or you need to phrase it in such a way that they feel something and then it leads to them doing something. Otherwise, they'll feel it and they may not act on it. In fact, quite a few people are not in touch with their thoughts or even their feelings. Now, sometimes that can work in your favor. If you're trying to throw someone into depression or into a spiral, you want that sense of inactivity while they mull over their thoughts. But if you're looking to get some type of action from them, that constant repetition of planting the seed, of planting those thoughts, of saying your commands over and over again over a period of time, seems to be very important for skull candle work. Do you find that in the work that you're doing, that you need to work with repetition and right timing?
Absolutely. I stay up till 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning doing my skull candles. And, you know, I do have a petition in them, obviously, but I also, and, you know, I said this the last time, I talk to all four sides of the head every hour on the hour at night. So when I'm doing cursing spells, I'm up all night.
Wow.
Now, there was someone on the forum who had an excellent idea, and he or she, I can't remember who it was, but they hold on to that candle for about a week and talk to it and do whatever, and then they work on it, which I think is a good idea, too.
That may have been me, honey, because
yeah,
I know.
Oh, okay. I knew it was somebody was really good.
Yeah. I believe I did write about that on the forum. I've even, mm-hmm. I mean,
okay.
I would go so far as to, you know, that's the doll baby aspect of it, you know,
yeah.
That thing, mm-hmm. and rub its head, and, you know, torture it or bless it or whatever you're doing repeatedly until, you know, at before you actually start working with it. And also, when I mentioned the hot pins, I like to light the pins after we get, you know, after the thing gets going. I light the pins in the flame of its own self. So
mm-hmm.
their own thoughts are torturing them. So, you know, I might start with some pins that I do over a hot stove. You can't see this. You can't hear this. You can't speak of it. You can't smell it. That you can't taste it. This is a mystery to you. But after that, I begin to say your own activities are your own undoing, your own foul self is your own undoing. And I light each pin in the flame of the candle as it burns. And I am a torturer when it comes to that. After a session of that, I will put the candle out. And I'll say, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, see you later, motherfucker. I'll be back. And then
right.
I come back and do more and more. And I'm also, I think because of my kind of unique background in comic books as well as in magic, I was an editor of comic books that were adapting Clive Barker stories into graphic novel form. And I was working with Clive, and he had this movie Hellraiser with this character Pinhead, and you all can Google it. But that got into my mind as a way to lay out the pins in very neat rows. Those of you who are very familiar with formalized braiding would know what I mean, too, in which you comb and then braid and comb. You know, it's like all laid out in rows and a grid pattern. So I don't just randomly stick pins in. I make it very, very neat. And it's just me. That's just how I do it. The neatness of it adds to the power of my anger, my thoughts. You know, it's that's just
right.
how I am. Yeah.
There's a beautiful way of it building
around
up.
Too and beat them?
Well, yes, I've done other things too. You can also take hot razor blades and hot knives. You don't want to take a temper off a really great knife, but you can buy, you know, use a cheap knife and heat it up. And, you know, stabbing energy is always good. Slicing energy is always good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the skull has the nose bridge on it. It's not a fully developed nose because our noses are mostly, you know, there's cartilage and a little bit of skin there. But the cutting off the nose to spite the face, these are the kinds of things that I have done when a person is a gossip, you know, a social problem. I said, well, you cut off your nose to spite your face, you know. And
yeah.
I let them do, you know, just things that I just, you know, carve holes up in the eyes and in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And as the flame burns down in a well, I'll actually carve with that knife and carve so that wax runs out of its eyes, so it's weeping, you know.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I've taken a torch lighter to a skull candle before. Torch lighters people use for cigars and whatnot. They're easy to hold a steady flame, especially at an angle. But I've done that to skull candles, melting it in different areas as the candle itself is burning, particularly melting the face off, you know, to make someone lose face and lose control. And while I actually follow very similar to what you do, is I work it over 7 days, torturing and working at it little by little, breaking apart the mental strength of the person. But I've also worked in a different fashion, where I've doused the entire thing in Florida water and set it aflame over one sitting. And that was meant to be an intense, hot hit to make the person lose complete control. And it's very, very powerful work, but it's a very different type of work. And that comes down to determining what you want to happen to the person, and also what type of person they are. some people need to be picked away at. Mm-hmm. Some people need something big to hit them, and everything just kind of falls apart. So knowing your target in the same way that you need to know a little bit about the sleeping, which is what I do, right? Knowing your target is a very important part of this type of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's those are all really important techniques. And I want to go back because I didn't comment on the idea of timing. I definitely like to work when the target is asleep.
Yeah.
And,
one
of the things I try to do is give people nightmares.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's just me. You know, you want to give them nightmares. Wake up tired. Wake up confused. Wake up from this bad dream and not know what reality mm-hmm. is. But I talk to them a lot, and I will, depending on again the mold that was used. You can have a short burn, a medium burn, a long burn, and different molds. You have to become familiar with how long you think your candle will burn. Okay, that's that because
right.
otherwise you may be up until 4 in the morning like a Haida, but you may be up until 8 in the morning, and that would be just as draining on you as you hope it to be on them. So you want to make
mm-hmm.
sure you know what's going on. Another thing you can do with a skull candle, that when you're using it for cursing, we talked about putting oils on it. I like to rub them with oils and then pour out the remnant of the bottle on it. This would be in a cast iron, a three-legged cast iron piece of kitchenware, skillet, or what's called a spider, camp skillet, or a three-legged cauldron. Pour the rest of the oil over it.
Oh.
Well, there's our music. Dang, we could have gone on for another 10 minutes.
I was getting into this.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe we'll come back with part 3. And my gosh, we haven't run out of ideas yet. All right, this is the Lucky Mojo Center Boot Work Hour. I'm your host, Kat Ironwood, my co-host, Ali, and our special guest, Miss Aida. Uh-oh, we just had a little glitch with our music. High fidelity.
Y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Aida from Detroit, Michigan, will be right back, and we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client, and our first new client is calling in from area code 620 from Kansas, and this is Christy. Christy, are you there, caller?
Hi, yes, I am.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling in to us and that you are one of Professor Ames' clients and that your most recent work with Professor Ames was done in January and that you all actually had done some work with breakup work, protection work, and reconciliation work. And Christy writes, this is concerning my ex-girlfriend, Maria, and I. I would like to know about the situation now. Is there anything else that could or should be done at this time? I'm concerned more about her being safe and happy than reconciliation, even though I would like that. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Now, Christy, I have a couple of questions about you and Maria. You basically just want us to do a kind of, I guess you would call it a welfare check, a spiritual welfare check. Is that,
yeah,
is that the idea?
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I want to have to ask about Maria a little bit because there's a good you know, 7 million people named Maria that I might know personally. So, well, that's okay. So we're going to try to figure out which Maria. So your Maria or your ex Maria, is this what sign of the zodiac is this person?
She was born in September, so Virgo.
A Virgo, okay. Mm-hmm. And about how old is she?
40.
40. All right. So we're not talking about somebody who's a little spring chicken, confused and alone in the world. We're talking about a 40-year-old.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We were together for 10 years, too.
You were together for 10 years. Well,
mm-hmm.
All right. So there's, if I follow out your kind of astral trail, I'd be led to her anyway.
Probably.
All right. And and what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Pisces.
A Pisces. Okay. Pisces and Virgo, opposite. All right. Well, I'm going to do a little quick reading, and it's going to be basically what is Maria's situation at this time, and what is Maria's situation with regard to her spiritual and physical welfare, safe and happy, or, you know, whatever, or not so, and is a reconciliation possible, all right? So, I have first card here, three cards, and the first card I have is the Ten of Wands. Not a particularly good card. The Ten of Wands shows somebody struggling with a load of heavy sticks or poles, 10 of them, and they weigh a lot, and this person is trying to get to their little house or garden, and it's a heavy load to carry. So I would say that she is somewhat burdened at this time. There's also possible frustration, some delays of achieving goals that she would wish for. It is not a card of danger, but it is a card of obstacles. It is a card of delays, and it's a card of not achieving things that you want to achieve, not because of disasters, but because the path just is overwhelmed with obstacles. If you were her, and I was reading for you as, you know, reading for her directly, I would say at this point that she would be well advised to do some road opener work or some blockbuster work, because she's a little bit impacted here by events around her requiring her to carry more responsibilities, more duties, more things that are in the way, broken things, negative emotions. She's kind of overwhelmed a little bit, but she still is moving forward. Not a bad card in that regard. She is moving forward. The second card I have, this is a card that every person who has had a breakup and wishes for reconciliation does wish to see. It's a card called the Lovers. So this shows Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with an angel, Raphael, overhead. It tells me that the two of you are not yet done with one another. It may be a while, but there is still something that about the two of you that was good. And although you've been driven out of that Garden of Eden, and this angel is the angel who watches over the Garden of Eden, sometimes called the angel Uriel. Different people give this angel different names. But this angel is, you know, kind of saying, go forth and do your thing. But it is a card of love. And I feel here that what you might be feeling is that the two of you are still linked in some way as sort of primal lovers. And the third card, another card that tells me there is some problem. I'm getting the impression that she may be in a situation that is not advantageous to her. It's a situation that may involve some negativity. Let's just put it that way. She's not in huge physical danger. I mean, she's not about to be murdered, killed, walk off a cliff. We'd have a card that would show that. But we do show a card of some struggle, and that is what I don't like to see. And, you know, when you ask what's someone's welfare, I would like it to be something better than this card. But what we have here is a card called the Hanged Man. Now, this is a card of a person who's hung upside down as if they had stepped into a snare and it had jerked them off their feet and they were hung upside down by their foot. People think the Hanged Man, they think of a lynching, but that's not what this is. This is more like a trap. This person got caught and they're hung upside down. They have a halo around their neck, around their head rather, saying that they're innocent. They really didn't plan on this happening, but here they are. They're caught. Their hands are bound behind them. And this is a card of someone who will not be free from negative circumstances without some help. Now, whether you're the helper or whether it will be another helper, these cards don't say. But between the oppression card and the hanged man card, that lover's card says this is, explains why your concern is still there. There is a sense here that she is traveling a path not as happy as she might. That's about the best I'm going to say. No physical danger that I can see other than restraint on her person. That's a hangman. If she got into a relationship with someone else?
Yes, she's in a, like a year and a half ago, this woman kind of basically stole her. And, you know, promised her a bunch of, you know, hey, let's have a happy life, and I'll have all this money. And, you know, Maria looked and goes, oh, okay, because we were struggling for money at that time. Mm-hmm. And then she got herself in this relationship, and it's been rocky. And
yeah.
Well, been she's physically violent. It's been emotionally violent, and it's horrible.
She's trapped. The hanged man cannot get out without help. And this is a...
Right.
To me, this is so. What we're seeing here is that she has been caught by this other person. Now,
mm-hmm.
what you do about that, we'll get to later. But as far as my reading goes, that's what I see: is that she is being held, bound up. She's bound. She's tied.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me turn it over to Miss Aida and see what she says.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Christy. Christy, do you know by any chance what sign that other woman is?
Good question.
She's in March. She's born in March, so I think it's the Aries, like March.
Okay, so she could be
March,
a Pisces yeah. or an Aries.
I'm pretty sure she's an Aries.
Okay. I'm getting a very similar reading to Miss Kat, and that's why I hate doing readings with Kat or Ali, because when they go first, because I like, oh, I'm on to something, and then they tell you what it is. But
right.
I got this, she's very depressed, is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that she's with a woman who is very negative. It's putting her into a deep depression, okay? She misses you. I'm also seeing the magician. So whatever magic is you're performing is starting to work, okay? She misses you, and she is starting to long for happier times when she was with you. I wouldn't be surprised if you heard from her before the season of fall or during the season of fall, okay? And I see her always turning around and wishing that she was with you. Now, she is just waiting and waiting for things to get better. She's waiting mm-hmm. for something that's not going to happen. Okay?
Right.
Again, I've got very similar cards to Miss Kat. I lay out a lot more than she does, but I'm thinking the magic is getting to her, but she's not taking the action. She's thinking that all of this is going to get solved, and somehow magically you're going to come back. And I view that as a problem, because somebody's got to take some action here.
Right.
And that's what I've got. And wait a minute. I also have that at some point there will be the two of you will reunite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I saw.
Now,
that lover's card. It's like the connection is not broken yet.
See her, and we communicate a little, but it's not allowed anymore. You know, there's no more phone calls. I mean, it's not allowed. She's goes through the cell phone bill, so there's no texting or phone calls allowed between her and I anymore at all. The only messages we get is once in a while I can get a Facebook message through to her, and I bump into her once in a while. You know, I actually can sort of track her down and run into her, and you know, and it's a nice reunion, and
yeah,
you know,
we understand. So this is yeah, that this definitely is the
Hangman.
And Vicky Trancho, I just have to say, Vicky Trancho just mentioned something, a burner phone. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do, and we've talked about that, but she is so scared and so paranoid of the repercussions if it gets found that she won't. I've already tried to set up an email, you know, and she's afraid she's got something on her phone, like a you know, some sort of a tracker.
Yeah, and may well. Yeah, the hangman is really bad.
Well.
This is and that Ten of Wands, she's oppressed. You know, and now you had mentioned fall, and the Ten of Wands does often point to October. So we may see some activity then. Ollie, what can she do? What can Chrissy do to strengthen this gal and get her out of there?
Yeah, I think that's really the question of the hour, because she's interested in talking. She's open to it. She's willing to, but she's afraid to. And the fact that she's afraid that she's being tracked, I mean, there's a lot of conflict there. You know, if she's happy with this woman, then why is she talking to her ex, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's not, Chrissy, and she's not. And it's very clear to me that she wants to talk to you. She wants some part of you back in her life, but she's afraid of upsetting the balance, so to speak. And that's very telling. So what can you do to help her out? I think that part of this involves an element of patient waiting. The work that was done by Professor Ames is good work. And as Miss Aida has indicated, it is manifesting. And so now it is a matter of letting it manifest. So be aware that some part of this is just going, okay, I got to wait. It may take until fall, but you know, you do what you can. The other aspect is preparing for her to come back. She needs to feel, because part of her is hoping that everything will be all right. Everything will just work out on its own. You need to show her that the comfort that she seeks, the succor that she desires, is with you. And you do this by altering what is around you and the energy and the spirit of your home and yourself. So doing some bathing work for yourself, I would recommend highly, highly to do some. Take some reconciliation baths. You can get some reconciliation bath crystals, dissolve them in warm water, and bathe in that. Then I want you to, in your home, sprinkle around peace water to really mellow out that energy. And then I recommend taking some reconciliation sachet powders, mixing them with fires of love, mixing them with come to me, and dusting your home. You can, if you know where she is, you can quite literally mix it with some dirt, lay it out where she'll walk through it, and then walk her footsteps back to your place. So you can put a pinch at every major crossroads from her place to yours, if it's nearby. If it's too far and that's not feasible, you can do it in a different way. You can lay down some of the powders where she'll walk through it, and then the rest of it at the crossroads nearest your house, your front door, the threshold to your bedroom, the four corners of your bed, and then the center underneath your bed or underneath your mattress. And the idea is to draw her back to you. This work is about changing and shifting the spiritual forces that are around you and making them more compelling for her. So you're doing work on her. Now she needs to find the kind of cushion she can jump into, right? And that is your home. So altering the energy around you. The next thing that I would recommend is doing some strengthening work for her. I highly recommend something like Queen Elizabeth root work. Getting some Queen Elizabeth root oil on a candle, a white candle or a purple candle, set on her name, on her photo, to really give her strength. Cast off evil, crucible of courage. These are the type of things that you should consider working on her. I don't think you need to do a lot of work here. This isn't about doing another battery of reconciliation work or breakup work or anything of those kind. Instead, what I sense is really just shifting things and then waiting patiently, bolstering up the positive spiritual energy of your home, bringing about a feeling of comfort, of home and hearth, while giving her strength and giving her courage. Little work, but work that is enough to finally get a movement. And that's what I would recommend, if Kat or Miss Aida has anything else to add.
Well, I do have one more question. You lived with her for 10 years. Are you still in the same house where you used to live together?
Yes, I am. She is not. She moved about an hour away.
Okay. So she knows the layout of that house.
Yes.
So we were talking about skull candles earlier, and we were talking about cursing with skull candles, but this is a work for dreaming with skull candles. You can baptize a skull candle for her and carry it around the house. She knows the house. She'll be dreaming of the house. And you can show her the new things you've done, how nice things are. Remember when we always sat there and cuddled on the couch? Whatever it may be. Remember when I was washing dishes and you came up behind me and gave me a kiss? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of take that skull candle on a tour of past happinesses.
That is absolutely excellent, Kat. I love that because it fits right into what I was saying. Shifting the kind of energy and the memories of the house. She has to associate the house with the source of succor, of love, of affection, of comfort and safety. So while you're doing the powder work, if you do that skull candle work, you're working both ends and you're getting her to remember the good times, the good energy. I love that, Kat. That's great work.
Yeah. And
I would add Crucible of Courage to that candle.
Yeah, and that
is.
Ollie mentioned that too. Crucible of Courage, absolutely, because she's in a weakened position.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
There is the possibility of some vengeance work against the other lady, and I would just be as blunt as possible. Why doesn't she just die? You know, don't bother with the breakup. Just no step, not from A to B. Let's just go from A to Z.
But I would be a little cautious about diving right into that. While I do think you're justified in working against her, and I think breakup work was very good, because she has a lot of power over your ex, you want to be careful because sometimes agitating things too much may end up causing her to lash out.
I'm talking about single car accident on a lonely road at night.
I like it.
But only if it's justified. But only if it's justified, Lord,
Right. Yeah, the cursing work on her, I mean, my gosh, she's...
Okay. Well, good luck, and give us a call back, and if you need any more help or want to know more tricks, good luck to you, and say hi to Professor Ann. All right, folks, we're going to go to our next caller in just a minute, but first we're going to have a magical word from Miss Magic herself, Miss Tammy Lee.
Thank you, Miss Kat, and y'all's support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 313 from Michigan. Are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi. Caller, may I have your name, please?
Tabitha.
Well, welcome to the show. Okay. Tabitha, have you gone to any of the members of AIR prior to calling in this evening?
Yes, I have. I have went
okay.
Professor Ames.
Professor Ames. Okay. Professor Ames. And when was your last reading with Professor Ames?
I believe it was like a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, a couple of weeks. And in just a brief, maybe 2 to 3 sentences, can you tell us why you're calling in today?
Yes, I have a job opportunity that came up this week, and I'm already in the, I already have a job already, and I'm just confused whether I should go for the interview for this second job or not. I'm nervous if I should or not take the second job.
Okay, Tabitha, well, thank you so much. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to our hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali and Miss Aida. Okay? Turning
it
over to you.
Well, this one goes to Ali. So we have a job offer and a second kind of job offer in Michigan. All right.
Yeah.
How about it, Ali?
Well, thanks, Kat. I have a couple questions, if you don't mind me asking. First, what job do you currently do? You don't have to be a specific position, just the field.
Data entry.
Data entry, and what is this new job that's offered?
It's like it's in the same company, but it's like I do repairs. The first job's a little stressful. It's a lot for me, but I can take it. I can handle it. But the new job I'm not for sure what it's about, but I just think it takes less work, same pay. It's just, I don't know, should I go for that or not?
Yeah, when you said it's stressful, I smiled because the very first card that I had speaks to that. It's the King of Cups. The King of Cups is a monarch sitting on a throne that's out in the middle of the water. And this is a monarch who rules well, that you're very good at your job. You're not bad at your job in any way, shape, or form. And you certainly know what you're doing, but you aren't on stable ground either. So you're keeping your head above the water. You're doing quite well, but this isn't what your current position is, isn't exact and stable. This throne is in the middle of the sea, and it's a very rocky sea. It's an unstable sea. So something to consider there. The next card that I have is the Ace of Cups. This is a good opportunity. This is an offer from Spirit. Here we have a golden goblet in the hands of the Lord that's coming out of the cloud. And the dove of the Holy Spirit is descending into this goblet. And 5 streams of water are pouring out in overabundance into the pool below. This is my cup runneth over. It is a good opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to find a level of emotional comfort in the position that you are in, as well as, feeling connected, right? Feeling that this is the job for you, feeling that this is where you need to be. So it's not just about that it's less work, it's that it will be emotionally right for you. This is a cup card, right? You want to feel comfortable in your position. You can do your current job. You can do it quite well. But, there's stress there. There's strain there. And I don't see that with the Ace of Cups. The Ace of Cups shows me that it is actually quite good for you to do so. And then the final card that I have is the High Priestess. Here I have a powerful woman sitting between 2 pillars of the Temple of Solomon, and behind her is a veil. This is actually the beginning. There may be another job opportunity that is offered to you later on, or an opportunity to move upward, rather than, even though this is a lateral shift right now, same pay grade, there is something else that may come your way. So I do fully encourage you to go for the interview, because should you get this job, which I do sense that it will be quite good for you and this opportunity is positive, it's actually because it'll open up a door to something else, something that'll help you be a little bit higher up in the company. It'll be more of a vertical promotion or shift. So it is a good move for you and something that I would recommend, because it'll help you come into your own and move forward. That's what I see with my call.
That's very interesting. And one thing he did not mention, I just got to throw it out here. He had 2 cup cards and the High Priestess. And although she is not, she's from the Trump suit, and therefore is not a what we call a suited card, she is associated with water. And
yes, very lunar.
she's very lunar, and she has, and she's symbolized by the camel, which is an animal that can withstand drought because it carries its own water with it, and she's dressed in a garment of water. So a lot of watery imagery here. Just the thought that I'd mention that. All right, let's go to Miss Saida. What cards do you have, huh?
I don't know why you need me, because the first card I laid out was the King of Cups.
Really? Oh, I love it when that happens. No, baby, that happens. No, when that happens, and that doesn't happen all that often. First card, same card. You get that? That's King of Cups. Wow. Okay, go on.
Okay. What sign are you, Tabitha? I missed that. I'm sorry.
Aries.
Okay, good. So I am seeing basically the same thing, and I lay out more cards than Conjure Man Oli does and Kat does, and I'm seeing that this is a good opportunity, but down the line, you're going to start getting bored with the job, right? Immediately after that, you're going to get some sort of a promotion. I see the same thing. Happiness higher up, but you're going to have, with this job opportunity, if you do take it, all right, it's going to be blissful in the beginning, and then as you get into it, you're not going to like it that well. But at that point is when there's going to be another transition, and it is a really higher up job, and you're just going to love it.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's
why
I said, I don't know why you need me.
Yeah, well, no, both of you see something. Instead of, we were looking at, the question was about two jobs, and both readers saw, in essence, three jobs, a third job, okay? So that doesn't, but neither of them saw it as soon. And I believe, if I didn't mistake myself, both of them saw the second job as opening the door to the third job. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So very clear reading on the part of two gifted readers, and something to keep in mind, you know, as you move forward on this. Now, I would like to talk about some root work, and these readings were short and sweet, so we have some time to talk about root work, and I hope my guest and my co-host jump in on me with this. When you are going to be doing root work on a job situation, the first thing you're going to want to have is the logo of the company. Get it offline, you know, print it or something, get a nice little bit, get some packing tape and laminate it. You want it to be something, and I say packing tape because I use that all the time. You can get it professionally laminated. Don't bother. Just packing tape, front and back, cut around, and you'll have a nice disc. That is used similarly to a Solomonic seal. If the logo is round, so much the better, and get one of the nice Solomonic seals that has to do with money. You know, Jupiter is always a good one, fourth pentacle Jupiter, any of that stuff, that's good. Or write on the back of it your prayer for a position at this company that will always be to your liking, that will always be advantageous to your career as a whole, not just about wages, but about responsibilities, friendships, and recognition. And you can write that as a prayer. That can go also, if you want to do that and put a seal, you can sandwich the prayer between the things, the seal and the company logo back to back, and then seal them up in tape. How big do you make it? Oh, you could make it anywhere from 3 or 4 inches on up to as big as a 5 inches, but would fit in the base of a dinner plate or something like that. However you make it, it's a little craft project for you because you're going to be working on this for a while. I wouldn't, really, for me, I tend to make a 3 or 4 inches. I like a 3-inch post-it. That's kind of my size. That's my favorite size working. So once you've prepared this, and another thing you could do, of course, this again gets just how much you want to get into it. You can take a little dirt from around the company, and pinches of that dirt, and seal that in the lamination too. Not so much, you don't want to make a pillow shape and have it be unstable, just a few grains, just to say, I was there, I marked it. If the building has four corners, take a little bit of dirt from the four corners. If there's no dirt around it, but there are flower pots and planters, take some from the flower pots. If there's nothing and it's just bare concrete all the way around, bricks and mortar and whatever, scrape a little tiny scraping off of the building. You can just use any kind of a little screwdriver to poke a hole in the concrete, make a little chip. All right, so you're going to have a little bit, something that marks that place. You're going to have the name of the place as a logo, and you're going to have your prayer and possibly a seal. Now, having done that, I'd like you to make a bowl. And this bowl is going to contain the names of department heads, co-workers, anybody that you come in contact with. Each of their names you're going to write on a little slip of paper. And it can be a slip of paper about the size of a Chinese fortune cookie. Fortune, just a little slip of paper. And on the back, if you want to write their birthday, if you have it, or, some prayer such as, or petition such as favor me, or, you know, if the person is meek and mild, you can say blessed are the meek, or whatever you want to say about them. And these are people that you want to have favor you. And you're going to take all of those little strips, and you can pin them together onto a safety pin. Why a safety pin? Because you want job security. You want your job to be safe. And those who will possibly favor you, you're just going to pin them all together. Now, when you've made all of that, you can just put that in that little bowl. It can be a chinaware bowl. Put a little layer of sugar under it. Put that in, and then more sugar. If you have to add people later on, don't worry. Just pull the safety pin out and poke another name or two onto it. You can put a lot of names on slips of paper on a safety pin. And you can also, if you want to, put a touch of cologne or oil onto the slips of paper, if you want to, but you don't have to. If you did, it might be something like, steady work would be a good one. But it's not necessary. Pour more sugar on top of it, and then you can burn candles. You can stick the candles into the sugar just directly. Just use the sugar as a base in which you put a candle. Use small candles, not a tea light. They're too flat, but a little 4-inch narrow, thin candle, the kind that's, you know, just about the size of a pencil but only 4 inches long. You can use birthday candles. And just burn a candle every now and then and say, now I'm going for this interview, or, please favor me, or whatever it may be. I have found people to work like this and do really, really good work. When you're not burning a candle in there, get a skeleton key and oil that key with, you know, Crown of Success or something like that, and just stick that key up in there and turn it back and forth and, you know, open all doors to me and let me have my way at this company. Let me be promoted. Let me be transferred as I wish. Let me find, you know, the postings that I need at this company. Let me have a good mentor if I go into a new department. Whatever it is that's going on. And this works for so many different types of jobs, but it works very well at hierarchical companies in which there are a lot of employees. It also works well in the military. And so that is Crown of Success sugar bowl with now. Underneath it, you've got that logo and everything. That's underneath that bowl. When you burn candles, this is called burning it on someone's name. In this case, you have the name of the company and the logo of the company. And that is like the base. Then you have the sugar, then you have the names and more sugar than the candle. So that's kind of your little mountain of goodness there. So that's what I would do. You can conceal such work by finding a bowl, but you can tape that logo up underneath and no one will ever see it, or a candlestick if you want to. I like to work with the sugar and make cookies and bring them into work, or, you know, whatever, and, you know, give everybody a taste of the sugar, and you can renew the sugar by adding more sugar to it. Okay, so that's how I would work. Now, in the chat room, someone said business cards, and I didn't say business cards, although that does work. Business cards are good. What I was saying was little strips of paper on a safety pin. I've seen it done with business cards. I've done it with business cards, and I recommend it. But in this case, you want everybody to be kind of under you. You can put a little bit of master root in there, too. You be the master. Okay. All right. So that's my suggestion. Now, does anyone else have some ideas for what can be done here?
Well, Kat, I have a question for you, Kat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What would you think, you know, because in my reading, later on, she starts to get bored, right,
mm-hmm.
before she gets this huge promotion.
Mm-hmm.
What would you think about a blockbuster spell when she's in that period?
Good point. If, yes, yeah, because see, Miss Aida was saying farther on down the road, you need to kind of open the doors to yourself. I would try Road Opener first, then Blockbuster, but you can mix them. And any candle that is dressed with both Blockbuster and Road Opener is always a good candle for breaking loose a situation and going on to the next level. Because both of your readers saw that this would become, it would be an opportunity, but it's not the opportunity. It's an opportunity that opens doors to another opportunity. Kind of like a video game where you unlock a new level. But you have to go through that level to unlock the new level, right?
Okay. I put prosperity, successful, and role opener in my shoe every day. That's how I end up getting a job.
Oh,
every
wonderful.
Day I put it in my shoe.
It's probably why you have these opportunities, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Road opener in your shoe, prosperity, crown of success. Those are very good for dressing your feet and congratulations. You're a good worker. You probably don't need as much advice as we think you do, because you already know what that's all about. That logo that I mentioned, making those little logos, sometimes people will do that, and depending on the kind of shoe, they'll slip it under the insole, you know, that little layer in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in some cases, the insole is all glued down. You can't do nothing. It depends on the kind of shoe, but sometimes you can work in there with a single-edge razor blade, and you can get that logo there. Your feet won't touch it, but you'll be walking on it.
And the work that you did with that is fantastic, because it's basically saying every step you take, it leads you to clear open roads with prosperity. And that's what this is leading up to, and probably why, in addition to what we saw in this job opportunity, we saw another door opening up. This is a result of your work.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you've got a good thing going on. Miss Aida, what do you think? Any last thoughts on other work she can do?
Well, you know, my mind started going crazy, but is there any possible way that she could make up a business card that already has her name on it and the position that she wants? So in other words, it would be like Miss Aida, President of the United States, okay? You know what I'm saying?
And
use that as a...
As a little token, a little logo. Well, nowadays,
things that you could put crown of success over, you know, the candles over that.
Yeah, that's really good, and that calls upon an old-fashioned form of working where, when you want money, you write your name on a dollar bill underneath the name of the Secretary of the Treasury. In other words, you kind of assume that you're the next in line for the job.
Right.
Yeah, associating our name with it. Reminds me of another a good working that Dr. Keone once mentioned, and one of my favorites of his, which was he went to the very first Walmart, which was some little tiny, it was before Walmart became Walmart. He went to the very first Walmart.
Interesting.
And got dirt, yes. And from Sam Walton's first store, and he said, "Let my company grow the way Walmart grew." And it's that kind of thing where you're identifying, you're hitching yourself to a star, in other words.
Yes.
Okay. Those are all good work. Well, good
Thank
luck
you.
To you. You're on the right path. There's a little bit of bend in the road ahead of you. Good luck.
Thank
all right.
you.
Well, well, now we're going to turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee. And we're definitely having a slight window of opportunity with our music. All right, here you go, Miss Tammy.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Manali, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, the Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Saturdays, noon to 3, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Yes, Miss Tammy Lee.
And y'all, now it's time to go to our free spell section, I beg your pardon. And we're going to go ahead and bring in Miss Aida, MissAida.com, and she's going to take it away. Here we go. Miss Aida?
Okie dokie, here I am. Okay, I'll give you the grocery list first, and then I'll tell you what to do with the spell. A black skull candle, a soldering iron or a drill or whatever you have to put holes into the candle, coffin nails, package of coffin nails, poppy seeds, black arts incense, black arts oil, raw meat, spoiled milk if you have it, if you want to use it, dog shit, and a petition paper. And if you have a picture of your target, you can do that too. Use that too. And as I had stated earlier, because we're doing harm to the person, we're going to baptize and name the candle first. And then inscribe on the candle the person's name and what you want to happen. You also do that in your petition paper. As I had told you earlier, use a soldering iron. If you're using the soldering iron, you put holes in the candle, but please do it outside because those irons emit chemicals. Now, with the raw meat, you can either have the raw meat sitting out for a while so that it molds, or you could just put fresh raw meat into the holes. Either way, if you're using icky raw meat or fresh raw meat, you're going to stick it in the holes. Now what I do is I take the candles, and they're outside, and they're on the ground. At this point, you can throw the spoiled milk on it when it's on the ground, and you're going to let it sit there for a week or more. And what you're going to end up with when you come back is a horrible, stinking, rotting, disgusting candle with insects creeping in and out. And let me tell you something. I've seen insects that I didn't even know existed. Long insects that were crawly and, disgusting.
God. Women, I just have to ask a question because we had dog shit. Did that go in there too, or is that later?
No, that's later.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So we just started off with the rotten meat and the spoiled milk. Okay, until the insects, the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. Okay.
And the worms say, please go in your snout. Yeah.
Right.
So, now, when you're going to do the candle work, what I do is I also, when I melt candle wax to fill the holes back in, I also mix the black arts oil in with that candle wax. Okay, mm-hmm. So we have a mixture of that. And then you're going to add poppy seeds to confuse them, and you can stick your petition paper, and usually my petition papers just say, die, motherfucker. And then I put black arts incense into the holes also. And then I fill the holes with the melted wax, right? Mm-hmm. Then what I do is I cover the entire skull with the black arts oil, and then I top that off. I sprinkle black arts incense over that too, mm-hmm. So it burns better. Then I cover just the face with the dog shit.
Mm.
Now, when you're working the candle, you know, I do the exact same thing that Kat says. I take the coffin nails and heat it with the flame of the candle and jab it in. The other thing I want to add is something that Conjure Man Ali pointed out that I loved is the base of the neck where the spinal cord is, so the spinal cord stem, right? That causes paralysis if you jab around there. So, mm-hmm. You know, you've got all your nerves coming out. So that's like, oh, my God, that's cool. I'm going to start doing that, too. And there you have it. Then I stay up all night with my candles and tell it what I want to do every hour on the hour. And I walk around to all four sides. And so then I'm making a command a total of 13 times. And that's the end of the spell. Have a nice day.
This is a burn outside type of candle, I'd say.
Yes. This is definitely outside, and she also said do it on the ground. You need to do it on the ground, and you need to do it outside, not just to keep yourself safe, although she did mention the chemicals from the soldering iron, but that's where you're going to get your insects, too.
Yeah,
there's
certainly
going to be, there needs to be contact with the natural world. You need those bot flies, maybe some sow bugs, whatever is going to go in there. Now, this is a fantastic spell. And it's very much in the old-fashioned way of working. I would add one little...
I was certainly not disappointed.
No, not disappointing at all, no.
I was looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm going to add a couple of wrinkles that might work for some people. Number one, if you don't have ground to do this, I would work this at a cemetery, right? Work it at a graveyard, because there's really no... But you want to find a deserted area at the cemetery, right? But that would be a good place to work it. Number two, there's an old song, and I've heard people use the phrase, I'm going to start me a graveyard of my own. And one of the things you can do is literally make a graveyard wherever you're going to do this by putting up a little fence around it to be a graveyard. And folks, this is where G-scale railroading comes in. You want to get that, you want to go to eBay and look up G-scale railroading cemetery fence, and you just buy it by the yard. It's all Halloween-y, and it looks like wrought iron cemetery fences. It's plastic. It's black plastic. Perfect stuff to make a graveyard of your own. And those of you who've seen my little railroad know that I have a graveyard of my own at my railroad layout. We don't talk about what goes on there. But that way is one way to work. I've also seen people do it inside of four candles at the four corners to mark off the graveyard. So just give you an idea, because people, I know, because I've worked with so many clients, they go, but I've spoiled a piece of my own land, right? Now I'll never be able to walk over that piece of land because I burnt this death candle out there, right? So that is one thing you want to consider, is if you make a little graveyard or a little area where you can do cursing, then you won't be carrying that all over and tracking it all over your backyard. So, Miss Aida,
I love that.
That was fantastic.
Fantastic indeed.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
Thank you.
What a spell. And folks, adapt it, use it wisely, use it in justified cases, because this is...
Oh, and cleanse with high hyssop afterwards.
Oh, yes, and yes, thank you so much, and cleanse with hyssop afterwards, and say Psalms number 51, please, for the love of
you
peace.
You definitely need it after one of those.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she can take us out of here.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ali, and thank you, Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California. And her topic will be on fertility spells. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodie Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurement Ali at conjurementali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives by luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Miss Tammy Lee. And, yeah, you out-louded the loud music this time.
Right.
She is a constant professional.
Yeah, professional. Thank you, Miss Aida, for being our guest from Detroit, where they know how to curse someone down.
Okay.
We're going to have you back on the show, and we're going to do some more with you soon, I hope. All right.
Love it.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.